Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Enteen with a podcast about the Pisces lunar eclipse that's coming in September 17th, 2024, at 10:34 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And it is a partial lunar eclipse, so you will not see a dramatic experience in the sky, but there is a large area of visibility which covers the United States up to the West Coast and sort of also Canada up to that same coastline. It's the Eastern Pacific. It goes completely over the South American continent and all the way across the Atlantic. And you basically have a line that includes, if you're going up, Africa, Middle East, the Mediterranean, all the way up through Western and Eastern Europe and the UK, etc., Scandinavia. Again, very large area. But again, a partial. And the partial is a shadow that only covers a bit of the moon. Usually it's the top of the moon. Sort of grays out a little. So it's not a big deal. The moon itself is a little larger, and I mean a little larger. You know, you're going to see all these photos where it looks like it's, you know, covering your house or something. It is closer, so it is a little larger. So it's called a supermoon. All right. And one of the things about this eclipse is that it's the first eclipse in the new nodes that will be coming in when the year changes, and in January the nodes will shift to the south node in Virgo and the north node in Pisces. You know, so we've been having our eclipses, if you haven't noticed, in the Aries Libra axis, where the north node is in Aries. So we've been trying to learn. It's always a cultural experience. It's also in our own lives. What it means in the negative Libra sense. Well, when we get to Virgo, we will be looking at how we have fallen into some of the bad habits of the Virgo energy. And if you're an evolutionary astrologer like myself, if that was your south node in your birth chart, it's like a lifetime deal. And I'll talk a lot about those nodes when we get to January. But right now, we have that Pisces moon, full moon, being eclipsed. Of course, we have the polarity with the sun in Virgo. And one of the interesting things about the moon is that it's conjunction the ruler of Pisces, Neptune, which is retrograding. So they're going actually toward each other, and only a 3-degree separation. So that means the sun in Virgo is also moving towards an opposition to Neptune. And if you've been listening to my podcasts for a while, you know what Neptune does. And you know what the sign of Pisces does and how it has an extreme up and an extreme down quality. So what we're looking at as we have an eclipse in that sign for the moon is how that is being acted out or experienced by our instinctive responses to the environment. That is the moon. It's moment-to-moment instinctive. It doesn't stop and think about it, which is, if it's in Pisces, extraordinarily frustrating for the Virgo polarity, which is always thinking about it, trying to make it perfect, get it organized. Is this the right time? Because it's also Virgo, as you may know from other talks I've given, the sign of the cycles, you know, cycles of our year, of our agricultural life. And we don't notice them as much anymore because of, you know, going to places where food is flown in from elsewhere that isn't on the same seasonal path as our own. But it's still cycles. They still occur. And even if we're not aware of them, this is happening out there. You know, the rest of for the rest of the earth other than humans follow the natural laws, which are the cycles. They follow the, you know, it's time for us to start coloring the leaves so they'll turn into the food that will go onto the ground and nourish the plant that way. People don't remember that because we have been taught to take those leaves and burn them, you know, get them away from that lawn, you know. And there's also lots of, like, life that goes on, including bee life, in the piles of leaves. So Neptune, Pisces, in our instinctive reaction, is partly here in this eclipse opposing the natural cycles of life. You know, the life is going underground now. It's not as much about photosynthesizing in plant land. And a lot of the creatures that we don't always experience with joy, you know, the insect areas, but still the ones we do like butterflies, and we're suddenly finding out how important the bees are, can also be using those piles of leaves for shelter. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing to have an eclipse here in that polarity, because the moon eclipsed is going to cause a change in relationships, and it's going to be over the next 6 months, but it's not just relationships to other people. It's our instinctive feeling about also places, issues, you know. It's not just our human relationships, but certainly it is also that. One of the things that you might need to know is, where does this fall in my birth chart? Because where the moon is eclipsed is going to be the house that has the areas of life that will show you where it's likely to occur. You know, in Washington, D.C., which is where I've set the actual chart that I'm looking at right now, it is in the 11th house, which is usually Aquarian and is about the future, right? And we know here in the United States, that in terms of Washington, D.C., we're making some pretty big decisions, right? And one of the things that is going on also is the moon has just come off fairly recently, a conjunction to retrograde Saturn in Pisces that is still sitting there with Nessus, the centaur, that is about the buck stops here. The buck stops here in Pisces with Saturn in Pisces is, you know, one of the things that people don't look at is, you know, who is appearing to be victimized is also Saturnian, which are the elders. You know, we're very focused at this point on certain issues about how people have come to rely on structures to support the age after retirement, right? So, you know, other people who have plenty of money and don't need that support are the ones that are making the decisions about this for people who don't have, all right? So the buck stops here is also looking at, you know, are you going to make a decision that is going to support people who need support? And that's not just elders, but Saturn is pointing to that also. So this is a lunar eclipse about who is going to be someone who's going to be helping and who's not caring about it. And this is an issue that is so clear that Nessus is there. The buck stops here. So this will also be true about something in the house where this centaur and Saturn are. They may be in the same house as the eclipse, but in the Washington, D.C., this is in the 10th house of public life and the government. So it's very, very focused in. And how do you instinctively relate to the group and to the future is what the eclipse energy is in the house. It's usually Aquarius, right? Now, there's plenty of other things going on in that 11th house, the North Node in Aries, like it's intercepted in Washington, D.C., but it's saying, you know, you've got to lead in a conscious way. We are looking at the Venus is in Libra, and it's moving from a happy, delightful, uplifting, generous trine to Jupiter. And it's going to have a little bit of a showdown when it is squaring exactly sometime soon after the eclipse, the lunar eclipse, retrograde Pluto that has slipped back into Capricorn, the power in the government. So Venus in Libra is looking for laws. She rules Libra. The beauty of harmony is when the scales are balanced. And we'll have to look and see how balanced are those scales, right? Chiron is sitting with Eris and Aries, and we know that there is a lot of energy going into learning that North Node Aries. How do we lead being courageous, but being of the others, not just of self? The South Node in Aries would have been, you know, I don't care as long as I'm okay, you know. But right now, we're looking at find that North Node in Aries, where there is innovation and there is forward thinking, and we lead others, but with others in mind, right? The South Node in Libra is sitting with the asteroid Juno in Libra. And Juno, if you read the myths, it would blow your mind. You know, I won't go into the whole myth of Juno and her husband, but she is the wife of the king of the gods, you know. And in Libra, in astrology these days, actually, she is very aligned with that sign of Libra because she's about women's rights. And, you know, the equality of partnership. And so she's sitting there with the South Node trying to bring some energy into Libra's willingness in the, you know, South Node to people please and not stand up for the rights. You know, so this is the one of the problems with the Libra South Node. Keep the peace. Don't make waves. You know, be charming. Be adaptable. You know, break our vows. You know, like I vowed that I would stand up for this, but now I'm not because I want to keep the peace, you know. So this is in public life and also in private life, right? So, you know, this is a very focused time. And we do have the recurrence of Uranus in Taurus retrograding in right now, going in that trine aspect to the Pluto energy back in Capricorn. And so this is the change of values can be put into what was a patriarchal stronghold, public life and government and corporation. Okay. We still have Ceres with Pholus. I spoke about that for the last moon. In Capricorn, Ceres is the goddess of grains and the creator of cycles. Like she relates very strongly to Virgo, to that solar energy. And she's with Pholus, which is the lid comes off. And I mentioned in one of the last talks in the lunar events that she was bringing focus onto, you know, that particular company that had lowered its standards, and now that read yesterday that the Boar's Head factory is closed for the foreseeable future. It must have been pretty darn bad, what they found there. So what we have now is Ceres and Pholus still working in that realm of corporation and government, and now it's in, Pholus is in exact opposition to Mars and Cancer. So we're looking at how we can see what the fight for the country, the fight for security, the fight about food is definitely here. It also is in, it's creating a cardinal grand cross with the north node in Aries, which is ruled by Mars, and the south node in Libra, which is ruled by Venus. And we see that conflict is coming in big time. Yeah, because Venus is ruling the south node and going to square Pluto in Capricorn. So the stage is set. And this lunar eclipse is about, again, a change in relationship, in an instinctive, you know, response to what's happening at all times. So we will see, and we will begin to know, that there are certain things, perhaps, that are toxic. Neptune can be infectious and toxic things that the moon needs to see, that it needs to be moving away from toxic relationship, toxic habits, toxic groups, you know, things like that. And, you know, things that generally are weakening you so that you can move into the higher levels of Pisces, the creative, the spiritual, the empathic, but not the victim, not absorbing. And so, you know, we have this. We have a need to have cages rattling, and Jupiter in Gemini is in a happy sextile to both Chiron and Eris in Aries. So yes, more speaking out. Yes, that is going to be a positive thing to help us get clear about that instinctive energy and the different ideas of Virgo. We have Mercury also in Virgo. It is sitting in connection to another asteroid goddess, Vesta. And Vesta is the keeper of the hearth. She shows a place that you will protect and defend at all costs. So Mercury in the sign of order and, you know, reasonable analysis, and also health. So we have that issue coming forward as well. Are people going to be able to stay healthy? you know, with the current systems that we have in place and things that could be improved, perhaps, to make it easier, that people don't have to lose everything, you know, because of someone in the family getting ill. These are major issues. These are also relationship issues. You know, how are we relating to the larger family of the country, the people of our own country? So it's you know, the first of the Pisces Virgo axis eclipses. There will be more to come in 2025. So if you need to see how this is working in your chart, if you have the planets or, you know, rising sign and midheavens and, you know, the major cross of the chart that has anything near the 25 degrees, that it relates into the 25 degrees of Pisces, and the more problematic ones would be the other mutable signs, like Virgo, which is a direct opposition, or like Jupiter, which is literally squaring this eclipse in Gemini, and Sagittarius. So this will be bringing it out faster for you, okay? But it will be change for all of us within the 6-month period that is your eclipse orb. All right? So in just 2 weeks after this, we're going to have the last eclipse of 2024, the solar eclipse on the 2nd of October at 10 degrees of Libra. So Libra will be in the outer world. We'll see it. Okay. As always, wishing you the best. And if there's any way I can help you with that, then you know where to reach me at shelley@shelleyantine.com and get a reading. It's a great time to get one, not just because of the eclipses that are coming in right now, but because of all the changes that are ahead, major changes, outer planet changes in 2025. So, again, all the best for now, and I'll say goodbye.